From National Public Radio, it's Latino USA. The election is now just days away, and polls still register a significant number of undecided voters. On today's program, we hear from two Latino voters who have made up their minds and who are working on the grassroots campaigns.
I know that Senator Barack Obama is going to be able to handle this economic situation that we're facing right now.
Who was there for us at the time of the immigration issue? It was McCain. So I think we have the right candidate for this moment in our history.
Also, I talked to independent vice presidential candidate Matt Gonzalez, who is running with Ralph Nader.
You guys say you don't need to debate people like Ralph Nader, but what's wrong with letting the American people see these alternatives?
And from Brazil, new music from award-winning producer Beto Vilares. This and more coming up on Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Stay with us. Joining us to discuss the news affecting the Latino community is Maria Elena Salinas, national news anchor for Univision, the Spanish language television network. Hey, Maria Elena.
Hi, Maria. Nice to talk to you again.
Another big news week. Let's start with a story that some people may not have heard about, but which made big news, certainly in Arizona. Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio, we've talked about him before, he took 30 deputies, 30 volunteers, essentially like posse members, raided the Mesa City Hall and a local library for undocumented immigrants who he said had been hired by a cleaning company. The country is no stranger to Sheriff Arpaio. He's known as the world's toughest sheriff. He's gotten a lot of press about his tactics. He's had inmates wear pink underwear and striped uniforms. He's fed them green bologna sandwiches. But here they show up in the middle of the night and taking these cleaning workers. What's going on here, Marilena?
Well, a lot of people didn't like that. You know, it was a very disturbing incident, and it really upset the local authorities in Mesa, Arizona, and it also upset a lot of the residents. And the Mesa mayor was livid because he says they put the safety of the citizens there in danger with a 60-person posse.
They had riot gear, full riot gear. They had dogs with them?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, they didn't inform the local police that they were doing this. They were hiding out in a park, and they actually lied about the motive why they were there. They were saying that there was some type of canine training. And that was the reason for having the dogs there. So, you know, when they finally went in and arrested at 2 o'clock in the morning and they raided this place, they only arrested 3 people. And later on, they went to people's homes. They ended up arresting 13 more, but most of those were not undocumented immigrants, but people that were suspected of hiring them. And they went to their homes and arrested them. It turns out, Maria, that the majority of the workers that were there were actually legal residents, and they were also citizens, and they felt terrorized by this violent raid.
Which essentially is racial profiling. If you look, quote-unquote, like an undocumented immigrant, then you can be picked up.
Basically, that's what they did. And, you know, people are very upset about it in Mesa because, you know, in the past, this sheriff has really gotten a free pass with many of his controversial actions. And, you know, he makes no qualms about it. And he, yes, it's racial profiling, and he doesn't, you know, mind that he's being accused of doing racial profiling. You know, but right now in Arizona, there's a very tense political atmosphere, you know, especially when it comes to the immigration issue. It's a border state, one of the ones most affected with all these immigration problems. And a hardline approach seems to, you know, be supported by many of the voters. It's sort of like a power with arrogance that can be a very dangerous thing. But, you know, there's something else behind all this, Maria, and that's the fact that Sheriff Arpaio was trying to impose his power because the police chief there had asked him to give him at least 2 days' notice if he was going to conduct a raid because, you know, apparently he does have jurisdiction over this area. And the police department had agreed that they would ask people who were arrested about their legal status, but they would not arrest somebody just because they were suspected of being in the country illegally. And he said that, you know, the police department there didn't want to enforce immigration law, so he basically had to do it himself, and that's how he was imposing his power.
Maria Elena, let's talk about what's going on in the Supreme Court, a very touchy issue. What the Supreme Court might decide now is whether or not immigrants who are facing immigration violations can also be charged with identity theft. What do we know about the Supreme Court? When will they make a decision? What are you expecting?
Well, you know what? This is one way to criminalize undocumented immigrants, because let's remember that crossing the border is a misdemeanor. And if you have been deported before and you cross again, you have an outstanding deportation order. That's also, you know, a reason for being detained. But immigration agents need stronger cases against a lot of these immigrants. And identity theft is the perfect excuse. You know, there's been a lot of criticism of agents in the way that they've conducted some of these raids, particularly in some of these meatpacking plants and other factories where they have ended up separating families from their children, leaving behind children that are born in this country, separating them from their parents. Now, what their defenders are saying is that in many of these cases, immigrants don't even know that the papers they're using actually belong to another person. They think, you know, they might be aware that they're false. Obviously, if they're paying for, you know, for false documents, they might think, well, it's a made-up number. All I want is a work permit. So the federal courts are at odds. You know, they're split on whether or not immigrants should be charged. So the Supreme Court's going to have to take a look at this. They've already agreed to take a look at this. And Maria, believe you me, that whatever they decide is going to definitely have a huge impact in the way that these immigration raids proceed. So we have to be watching that one closely.
Maria Elena, thanks for speaking to us. Talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Maria.
Maria Elena Salinas is the national news anchor for Univision, the Spanish language television network. Deixando o norte bem doidão. Em Cuiabá o siriri faz balançar. O alemão, a japonesa e o negrão. You're listening to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Over the course of this campaign, you may think that you've heard everything you need to know about this election, but there are critics who say that the campaigns of the two major parties and the coverage by the news media have been seriously lacking. Case in point, you've heard of Sarah Palin and Joe Biden, but have you heard of Matt Gonzalez? Gonzalez is a San Francisco-based attorney and the running mate for independent presidential candidate Ralph Nader. And Matt Gonzalez joins us now from San Francisco. Welcome to Latino USA, Matt.
It's my pleasure.
In a nutshell, if you had to point to, let's say, the three biggest issues that you think are not being discussed in this presidential election that should be discussed, that have not been talked about by the Democrats or the Republicans or the mainstream news media, what would they be?
Well, first of all, I think this fiscal bailout, why can't any of these candidates be asked directly, listen, both of your political parties supported deregulation that got us here. Why do you think the American people should elect one of the two of you into this post? I think second of all, it would be the question of health care. Why, as one of the, you know, industrialized nations, the richest nation coming out of World War II, why don't we have health care for everybody, but all the other European countries and Canada and other countries of our stature have it? And why is it that your political parties have been in office for decades and not able to deliver this to the American people? And when you say it's too costly, well, how is it that you come up with a $700 billion bailout in less than a week for banks that, essentially engaged in market activity without regulation? And finally, I'd say, what about elections? You guys say you don't need to debate people like Ralph Nader, but both of you were losing your respective primaries until you were allowed into debates, and you took single digits and ended up winning your respective contests. What's wrong with letting the American people see these alternatives? Ralph Nader, by the way, has a more impressive legislative record than either Obama or McCain. Even put them together and compare things like the Freedom of Information Act, Environmental Protection Agency, you know, clean air, clean water, automotive safety, OSHA, etc. And I think it would be interesting what the answers would be. But I think those are three subject areas for sure.
All right, well, you dismissed the issue of essentially identity politics when you said that, just because Senator Barack Obama is African-American, is mixed race, it's not enough. But on your ticket, you have the first Arab-American who's running. That would be Ralph Nader. And you're Latino from McAllen, South Texas. I know that area well. So does that have an impact on who the both of you are as candidates for this race?
I think identity politics is enormously important. I just don't think that when you take somebody that fits into a category that should have a greater awareness and consideration of, you know, the plight of immigrants and working people and the importance of civil rights and things like that, that you can allow them to historically vote poorly and show us that they don't have these concerns, and then say that somehow the fact that they're African-American or Mexican-American or Arab-American is somehow of an important enough consideration to cast a vote on that issue. Of course, I would be delighted to see an African-American get elected president. I think it would be enormously important, but not an African-American who talks good but votes badly. I would ask your listeners, if Barack Obama wasn't a handsome, articulate man, if he looked like John McCain and spoke like, you know, John McCain, would he be this popular? And I think people would be looking at his voting record and they'd be saying, this is not credible. I mean, this is a man that wants to change the culture of Washington, but he's never explained why he voted with Republicans on class action reform and things like that. His running mate, Joe Biden, is being recast as a working class hero who never forgot where he was from, but he votes for things and is the main architect of the federal sentencing guidelines that have hurt more African-American and Latinos because of their disproportionate sentencing. He has run interference for all the credit card companies that hide out in Delaware so that they don't pay appropriate taxes. And he can complain about George Bush, but let's be candid. He was delighted to join the Republicans when George Bush became president and to pass a bankruptcy bill that hurt working people. This is the truth, and I think journalists have a responsibility to get this message out because the American people are hearing a positive message, but they're not getting the fact that the messenger doesn't have a credible history to implement these changes.
Thanks, Matt Gonzalez.
Thank you.
Matt Gonzalez is the running mate for independent presidential candidate Ralph Nader. Most polls show that Latinos favor Senator Obama over Senator McCain. Still, McCain does have some ardent supporters in the Latino community who have been working to get out more Latino votes. Otto Merida is the chairman of the Nevada Hispanics for McCain and joins us now by phone from Las Vegas. Thanks for joining us, Otto.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Otto, so tell me what you're doing right now to work on behalf of your candidate, John McCain.
Every day we're calling Hispanics, especially, you know, Hispanic Republicans trying to get out the vote, early votes. At the same time, we're going ahead and contacting Democrats that we think are perhaps in the fringes. They don't know if they're going to be voting Democrat or Republicans, and we're trying to stress the issue of voting for McCain, and that's what we're doing and putting a lot of time and effort into this.
All right, so when you get on the phone, tell me, you've probably got it down to about 45 seconds or a minute, what is the line that you are using to tell potential Latino voters why they should vote for John McCain and Sarah Palin?
Well, who was there for us at the time of the immigration issue? It was McCain that was able to cross the aisle and be able to develop a legislation for immigration reform. I think he's actually a conduit for change, even though the other side talks about change. I think we have the right candidate that will change because of his experience and the fact that of his age. I think he will be ready and willing to do certain things that we have to deal with right now, which is health insurance, Social Security. Also, we bring in a person that really knows how to deal with foreign powers and the issues of the Middle East and so forth. So I think we have the right candidate for this moment in our history.
Okay, so if John McCain was to call you up, Otto Merida, and say, Otto Merida, in the state of Nevada, I need your advice as a Latino leader in that state about what I should be saying or doing to get these Latino votes, to get the vote for the Republican Party, what would you tell him?
Well, I think the main issue right now, especially in Nevada, especially in Southern Nevada, is jobs. We have been losing jobs from the gaming industry and the hotel industry and so forth. People have been laid off, and also in the construction industry. So we need to have a jobs program that will actually go ahead and take care of some of these issues. So the main issue right now, talk about jobs and the economy. This is the main issue for Nevada, and I think it's the main issue for the whole nation.
Thanks, Otto.
Thank you for having me.
Otto Merida is chairman of the Nevada Hispanics for McCain. Obama has been focusing his efforts in Florida with the help of volunteers like Maria Garza of Homestead, Florida. We decided to give Maria a phone call to check in on how she's reaching out to her community to get the vote out for Barack Obama. Hi, Maria.
Thank you so much for inviting me to your program.
Okay, Maria, so tell us right now, middle of the day, what are you doing for your candidate, Barack Obama?
Right now, I just came in from doing phone banking this morning. And every weekend, we've been out there knocking on doors, doing canvassing, just sharing with our fellow Americans the importance of this particular voting election this particular year and how important it is to vote for the right candidate. And, of course, that is Senator Barack Obama.
We have heard some reports about you doing a little bit of kind of unconventional kind of canvassing to get people to think about Obama. You like to go to radio stations and dedicate songs? What's that about?
Well, that's another way. You know, we know that in our community, as volunteers, I don't have a budget. I don't have any money to reach out to buy advertisement. But we have, and our people listen to the radio, especially the Latino community listens to the radio a lot. So we have an organized group of friends that call the radio station, and we dedicate a song to somebody. Maybe it's their birthday, or maybe we just, you know, send them a message, un saludo. And by doing so, we putting our message of, by the way, it's time to go out and vote, and then we also encourage them to vote for Senator Obama. And we have been very successful in doing that. In fact, right now, I am in Phoenix, and I'm going to be doing that in the next hour or so.
All right, Maria, you've got 30 seconds. What would be your pitch to sell your candidate to an audience?
I know that Senator Obama is going to be a great president. Here's what he's going to do. Everybody's concerned with the economic crisis that we're facing. He will be the person that understands our issues and has proposed already doing some very positive things. 95% of Americans will get a tax break if we select him and help him with his plan. And I know that Senator Barack Obama is going to be able to handle this crisis situation, economic situation that we're facing right now. And I encourage everyone to come out and vote for Senator Barack Obama.
Thanks, Maria, for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Maria Garza is a volunteer for the Obama campaign in South Florida. Regardless of the outcome of the election, another contest has been playing out on the sidelines, the competition for the best song composed for an inspirational presidential candidate. At this point, Obama seems to have the edge just by the sheer number of entries, with strong showings in mariachi, in urban contemporary, and norteño. Now, McCain's camp had the country category wrapped up with a Hank Williams Jr. tune.
If they smell something wrong, they're gonna come down strong. It's a McCain-Palin tradition.
But a surprise late entry in urban contemporary may have just won it all. Let us know what you think about who won the best musical category. Send us an email at lusa@npr.org. And in a minute, música cheia de alegria, new music from Brazilian producer Beto Vilares. Coming up on Latino USA, no se vayan, fica con nós.
Medo da medo e medo, medo da medo e medo.
It's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. To be fearless about showing happiness. In Portuguese, that translates as sin vergonha de ter alegria. That is the credo of Brazilian musician and producer Beto Vilares. Beto Vilares is an established musician, record producer, multi-instrumentalist, and composer. He produced the hugely successful and Grammy-nominated album for Seu, and is responsible for the soundtracks of hit Brazilian TV shows and movies, like the Golden Globe-nominated film Behind the Sun. Now, Beto Vilares steps out of the producer's chair and into the spotlight with his self-titled debut release that not only highlights his command of modern production styles, but also his deep respect for the traditional music of his native Brazil. And Beto Vilares joins me now on the program, all the way from his studios in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Welcome to the show, Beto.
Thank you very much. I'm very glad to be here talking with you.
So, you've been working for the past decade as a producer. You did the soundtrack for the renowned City of Men, which was a television sequel to the movie City of God. And you did a massive documentary on the music of Brazil with Gilberto Gil. So what was it and when was it that you said, okay, now it's my turn to get behind the microphone?
Well, I think the Música do Brasil was a huge push for me to make my own music, but I always wanted to do that. I think I was learning a lot, and I still am, when I work with other people and with soundtracks and with this kind of different projects.
You know what I loved about your CD, Beto, is that when I first put it on, you know, first there's a kind of bossa nova style, and then all of a sudden, you know, I'll turn away from my desk and I'll come back and I'll sit down and it'll be a little bit like, you know, Brazilian hip hop, and then I'll, you know, go away and, you know, go pick up some mail and come back and sit down again. And then it's kind of got a totally different rhythm that is maybe a little bit more U.S. or hip-hop or kind of modern beat. And then I'll go away and I'll come back and then you'll be singing something that reminds me of, you know, Caetano. It was just amazing the range that you covered. Did you? You wanted to do that, I imagine. But what was the purpose?
I really like almost any kind of music that I hear. Sometimes I wish I would connect to one style and develop a lot in one kind of production, but it's very inside me to be open, and I think that came out. Teresina, Petrolina, Horizonte, segue a ponte, vai menina, dobra esquina, cabra cega, não te pega, cerimônia de princesa, vela acesa.
Let's talk about the opening cut. It's called Incerteza, which means in English uncertainty. Did you want to capture that feeling?
I was trying to do a sad song. I don't know if I could. It was like 2001, those things that happened, and I don't know if you imagined about that, but the feeling was a little bit, it was not such a happy feeling with this particular lyrics.
It actually seems to me like a song that is full of hope.
Yeah, I think you're right, because the reason for doing music is to try and do beautiful things and get together with people that I like to work with. It's right, it's about getting together too, the reason for doing it. Segunda-feira, eu tava à toa. Ali na beira da lagoa ela chegou.
Then there's a moment where you go to a totally different place, like in the song Nobenjiawa. Is that the way? Am I pronouncing it right?
Notendagua. It's not even a conventional word in Portuguese.
And what does it mean?
It's an expression I think I created a little bit.
Chegou na toa, aqui em cima nem.
in Minas Gerais, they used to say Zé Dendágua. It's like if you'd say Zé is a name for José, it's a nickname. Dendágua is inside water, in the water, dentro da água. It was just about the melody and the word inside the melody. I wanted to do a coco, which is this kind of ancient baião, which is maybe the largest tradition all over. It's just for playing, it's not religious, just for playing drums and singing and improvising lyrics.
Lá no alto, tranquilo.
Chegou, ficou olhando como quem não quer nada. Mulher prendada, cheirosa, pra combinar com a minha roupa nova. Veste prosa pra te pôr perto de mim assim. Batuque, bebida, nas ruas da vida.
And in that cut you bring in Rapin Hood. Am I pronouncing that correctly? Rapin Hood?
Yes.
Which is, he's a Brazilian rapper, and he's rhyming alongside your vocals. Hip-hop in Brazil, big deal, something you wanted to also bring into your music. Why?
I'm very close to Rapin Hood, so it was kind of natural to invite them. I wanted to have the rappers, he, his brother, and his other friend, to do something that usually the cantadores, the improvisers do, you know. They created it in the studio with the percussion, and I think Nod Indago came out quite nice. I like to sing the lyrics when I play these songs, because it's the way they did the rhymes and it's very different from what I would do.
For someone like me who knows a lot about Brazilian music, your album just covers so many rhythms, feelings, and emotions. What is it? What do you want your first self-titled CD to be remembered by from your listeners?
Maybe be happy. Be happy in the way that you can. It's not a whole revolution, but just be fresh. Try new combinations. That's what I think all the time. And I learn from my friends and people I look around here to live a happy life. Maybe that's it.
Beto Vilares, thank you so much for joining us on Latino USA, and good luck with your CD.
Great. Thank you very much, Maria.
Beto Vilares' eponymous album is available from 6 Degrees Records. And for this week, this has been Latino USA. Thanks for listening. Obrigada. Latino USA is produced by Walter Morgan, Angela Maldonado, Benjamin Jacob, Alex Avila, and Katie Davis. Our executive producer is Sean Collins. We had help this week from Jorge Olivares. To listen to our podcasts, go to latinousa.org or look for us on iTunes. Production support for Latino USA comes from KUT Radio, the Center for Mexican American Studies, the University of Texas at Austin, and the William and Salome Scanlon Foundation of Austin and San Antonio, and the Casey Foundation. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Join us again next week for NPR's Latino USA.
Support for NPR is provided by Lumber Liquidators, Hardwood, Bamboo, and Cork Flooring. Catalog at 1-800-FLOORING. By the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, supporting community health leaders who make a difference in America's neighborhoods. On the web at communityhealthleaders.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio.